Thank you so much, Larry, for those wonderful introductions. As Larry mentioned, I work with him at Prevention Institute, and today I wanted to take some time before the other panelists really went into detail about some of the work that they've been doing around the intersection to highlight what this intersection is that we're talking about. How is violence and chronic disease related, and what are some approaches that can be taken in order to prevent violence and promote healthy eating and active living? I have no relationships to disclose, and with that, I'll get started. And some of our work in communities around the country, we hear things like reality and perception of violence are justifications for people not being outside or letting children outside and not walking to places that they normally would. And, you know, I'm from Youngstown, Ohio, and when I moved out of Youngstown, a family friend moved into the house there, and I get to go back to visit Youngstown, Ohio quite a bit, and I get to go back to my old house, which is a lot of fun. But one thing that's not been so great for me is seeing the decline in the neighborhood that I used to grow up in. So these are the streets that I used to run around on, the streets that I used to play on, but my family, friends, their kids don't go outside. And recently there have been a couple of shootings that have happened on that block. And, you know, basically when the last time I went, I was there a week and a half ago, and as I was pulling up in the driveway, someone was leaving the house, and I was pulling up, and I thought, oh, I can just walk right in the door, but the door then got closed and quickly locked. And I said, you know, hey, what's going on? Like, I was, you know, you heard me in the driveway, and it was like, no, in this neighborhood, we stay inside, we keep our doors locked. And it was just shocking to kind of hear that, because that was the house that I grew up in, and that is not the way that we approach things. And, you know, it's just a personal experience for me that I've seen where, you know, the violence in a neighborhood is really impacting other behaviors, whether or not people are going outside, walking to local stores. But it's not just in Youngstown, it's in communities around the country. In other communities, we've heard things like turf wars deter people from walking to grocery stores. We have a wonderful gym in the park, but the kids don't use it because they're afraid of the park. In addition, community violence can impact the actual neighborhood environments, the investments in the neighborhood. So, for example, the head of a security at a major retail corporation once said, community safety is our number one concern. If our employees feel unsafe coming to work or our partners are scared to shop in the area, we won't open a store there. So imagine what's going through the minds of different, you know, grocery store retailers as they think about where they're going to locate. We heard this, you know, we heard these concerns from communities that were really trying to enact healthy eating and active living strategies and look at efforts to prevent chronic disease by promoting healthful living. We kept hearing that there was this major barrier that was violence. So with support of Kaiser Permanente, we did some extensive research, including a literature scan, speaking with experts in the field, talking with community advocates, and the result was this resulting paper that is addressing the intersection, preventing violence and promoting healthy eating and active living. And what we found is that there is an intersection. In fact, we found that violence and fear of violence affect individual behaviors related to healthy eating and active living. So some of the things that we talked about earlier, whether or not people will go outside, walk to their neighborhood corner stores, or whether or not they even feel like they have there's the capacity to be thinking about anything beyond their own personal safety. So even be thinking about, you know, eating healthy or being active. In addition, violence and fear of violence diminish the community environment. So again, those investments in the community, perhaps by retailers that could bring healthful products. And there's more about these particular findings that go into more depth within the paper called Addressing the Intersection. And also within that paper is an outline of key approaches that can help to promote healthy eating and active living and at the same time to prevent violence. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that today. The first approach is really understanding the community-wide framework for preventing violence. And Dr. Deborah Prothero-Stith actually is one of our close partners that we work with. She once said, "Violence is not the problem of one neighborhood or group. Coming together and owning this problem and the solutions are central." So we know what it takes to prevent violence. We know that violence is preventable. For example, cities with more coordination and communication across different jurisdictions are have lower rates of violence. In Minneapolis, they were able to implement the blueprint for action and saw a documented 40% drop in juvenile crime in 2 years once they implemented that. So we know what it takes to prevent violence. The question is, you know, how are we implementing those strategies in a cross-cutting manner with our healthy eating and active living strategies or other neighborhood transformation strategies to ensure they have the greatest impact? When we're talking about prevention, we're talking about primary prevention. So, you know, what does it take? What policy and environmental changes, what comprehensive actions, what partnerships does it take to prevent people from getting sick or injured from violence in the first place? And so, you know, just to get us a little bit of grounding of what we mean by preventing violence in the first place. And Prevention Institute helps to coordinate a national initiative that's sponsored supported by the CDC, and Rito will talk a little bit more about some of the other efforts there at CDC as well. But the Urban Networks to Increase Thriving Youth Initiative is really an opportunity for cities to come together to support one another and thinking about how to prevent violence, you know, at the community level. And they have a lot of great resources that are available on the Unity website, and you can get to that Unity website through Prevention Institute's website. But I think that, again, the one piece that's really important to take home here is that these are cities that are working together to prevent violence, and they're really thinking about how to keep people from getting injured in the first place, and what are the comprehensive, sustainable approaches in order to do so. The second approach that we talk about in the paper is really thinking about how to use that preventing violence lens, so thinking about that framework of preventing violence and really integrating that into the healthy eating and active living strategies that we might think about day to day. So creating safe spaces to be active, promoting community development and employment, as well as fostering social cohesion. We know that in order to prevent violence, you have to increase the resilience factors in a community, and we feel that these are some really strong ways in order to do so. For example, with creating safe spaces, we could look at joint use agreements or shared use agreements between schools, perhaps churches or other partners, as well as after-school programming, thinking about other safety-promoting features in the neighborhood. One example of that was Safe Routes to School program in Flagstaff, Arizona, where we hear about Safe Routes to School, and oftentimes people are thinking about, you know, how do we make sure that there's no traffic-related injuries, or how do we ensure that, you know, the sidewalks are in, you know, not in ill repair. And there's another piece to that. There's thinking about the safety concerns for children that are walking to school. So how do we use, you know, that those initiatives and that funding? And one of the way that Flagstaff was able to do so was that they recognized that some of the unsafe activities that were happening in the park were linked to alcohol abuse in the park. And so the neighborhood committee, in addition to creating a walking school bus, also led an initiative to ban the sale of 40-ounce glasses of bottle, glass bottles of alcohol in the park. So again, trying to take this initiative, not just looking at the unintentional injuries, but also thinking about how do we prevent violence in areas and create safe spaces for people to be physically active. Promoting community development and employment, ways to do this when thinking about our healthy eating and active living strategies might be thinking about healthy corner store programs. So how are we, you know, involving the community to bring bring to local businesses these healthful foods, and how are we ensuring that we're doing so in a way that might be providing, you know, additional jobs or creating community vitality, again, which we know is related to reduced violence. Also, job skill development and healthy food is another opportunity to look at that integration of preventing violence by providing job opportunities and promoting healthy eating activity through the healthy food retail. One example of fostering social cohesion, so we know with increased social connectedness, again, we see a reduction of violence. And in Kern County, in California, there was a group of parents who wanted to create a walking group, and they wanted to exercise together. But what they noticed is that when they went out on the streets, they didn't feel safe. There were stray dogs, lack of lighting, and they wanted to join together with other groups to figure out what they could do in order to make the streets feel a little bit safer. And in their work to get improved lighting and to work to, you know, really change the issues around having stray dogs and get that taken care of and some of the other issues around safety in the neighborhood, they were able to draw more people into their group. This group is, I think I saw someone from Kern County about 4 months ago, and she had like some pictures of the group now, and it was more than like 80 women that are regular, and I think there are some men as well, but in this particular picture there were quite a few women who have joined together and are regular members of this walking group. So, you know, this is an opportunity to come together around something as a group and again increase that social connectedness that we know is related to preventing violence. The third approach we talk about in the paper is really thinking about, you know, preventing violence is not just going to lay in any one jurisdiction's hands. There's going to be multiple fields and sectors. They're going to be able to implement approaches that can help to prevent violence and promote healthy eating and activity, in this case with the intersecting work. That it could include possible partners that we've seen in our work, include youth, public health, people who are focused on preventing violence, as well as law enforcement or local city government. And we found that this multi-field collaboration, again, is really important because when we're looking at coordinating efforts across jurisdictions or when we're looking at, you know, comprehensive solutions, this is not something that any one jurisdiction alone or any one sector alone can do. One way that we've seen that kind of this multi-field collaboration in action is through the Convergence Pilot Partners initiative that Larry had discussed a little bit earlier. There's six sites across the country which have been funded to look at innovative ways to transform communities and, again, how to prevent violence and promote healthy eating and activity. And, again, the Convergence Partnership is a national group of funders that really looks to fulfill this vision of healthy people in healthy places and what are the innovative strategies in order to do so. And they found that this intersection between preventing violence and promoting healthy eating and activity was one key place to explore. We're going to hear a little bit more from Louisville later on in the panel, which will be talking about the efforts that they've done through their site project in order to promote healthy eating and active living and prevent violence. Another group is Chula Vista, California, just there south of San Diego. And as you all know, a place dear to me because I went to graduate school there with a couple of people in the audience. shout out to my ladies. So, you know, in Chula Vista, the youth have really been an integral part of thinking about how to implement what we've heard, or some terms some folks have called crime prevention through environmental design. So how do we create spaces that inherently really help to prevent violence and feel more safe. They're doing this with six sites and throughout Chula Vista in close partnership, again, with other community partners. And as I mentioned, the teams in the pilot are, again, really multi-field. So we're seeing youth as well as local health advocates, law enforcement, and they're all really working together to think about how to look at the environments of their local parks, their trolley stations, and improve them in a way that people feel more safe, create more eyes on the street, and, again, help to prevent violence while promoting activity amongst local residents. And a lot of the work that they have recommended has actually been implemented by local government agencies. In Philadelphia, we have someone here. Is Tiffany still here? From Philadelphia, who is doing a work in Hunting Park, really utilizing that that space is an opportunity to bring in healthy food resources, and at the same time in doing that, so the healthy food resources include a farmer's market, a community garden, and in order to do this, they really engage the community in doing the work. And so the youth have really been helping out and trying to think about how to create sight lines in the park, and have been working they've also been working with the seniors in the neighborhood who haven't necessarily utilize the park as much, but to become partners in looking at how the community garden will be laid out. And a lot of that was really a community-led process, increasing that stewardship of the park, creating a space that feels more safe and that has more resources for people to come and access. And again, by doing that, helping to prevent violence by giving folks meaningful opportunities to participate in their in the work happening in the community. And so what I have been talking about today is just really a lot of efforts that are happening across the country. There is a movement that's building where we're looking at, cross-cutting strategies. We're looking at innovative strategies that are really going to help to transform communities. And we've seen growing interest in this work. In addition to presenting here at APHA, and thank you to Mighty for this invitation to present here, we've also presented at many other panels across the country, including some panels that aren't just, for public health folks. So the Smart Growth Panel, we were able to present that, as well as the NACHO and ASTO, different webinars and panels or presentations that we've done there. There is increasing interest in this work that's happening. Recently, there was a thought forum that was really convened by Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, Prevention Institute, and CDC, and Rita will talk a little bit more about that. But again, this is this interest in what is the additional research that we need to do in order to inform practice, and how is what's happening on the ground informing the research? So again, this is efforts have really helped to catalyze new thinking. That's the back of me, and Paul Lopez, who is a city council member who is a part of the Denver pilot project. But we were here earlier this year, thankful to Craig Martinez, who will be speaking later. Speaking later on this afternoon about some of the work that's happening through there on the national level. We were able to impact some of work on the national level through our congressional briefing that we coordinated earlier this year. And that congressional briefing was co-sponsored by Senator Harkin and Representative Barbara Lee. And it was just an amazing, as Larry mentioned earlier, it was amazing to see on this icy day, I'm slipping all over the place in the Capitol. I'm like, oh, it was an interesting time. But we weren't sure how many people would come out. People said that some people had to cancel, and we still had more than 125 people come. It was standing room only. There is growing interest in this work and how it impacts communities locally, and we saw that day. I mentioned building the movement. I saw that on someone else's slide today, and I think that it helps to think about these things and to have a picture with that. So we're thinking about how do we transform, abandoned spaces or neglected areas to opportunities where there's community development and, this economic vitality that will really help our communities not only to have access to healthy, healthy food or activity, but also to provide jobs in the area. And again, this economic vitality that's going to help to prevent violence and help the community grow. How are we going from spaces that are locked to our youth in the area to spaces where youth feel like they have opportunities to connect with other youth in the area, they have meaningful opportunities to do things that are healthy and to do things that are positive? How do we move from spaces that feel dangerous or abandoned to spaces that feel like this is a place where we want to recreate, where we want to come together? How do we connect as a community? And we know in order to do that we have to think about how do we prevent violence. We have to think about that framework and implement it into our cross-cutting strategies in a way where we are, working with partners and really strengthening our work to transform communities where we're addressing multiple problems with a good solution. And we'll be holding questions until the end. Thank you.